The importance of this day is indescribable, isn't it? He rose from the dead. The grave could not hold him. The Apostle Paul says it this way, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." Do you realize that on this fact is where we have our whole faith, and our faith is based on? If he is not risen, then our faith is vain. It's not a small deal. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fall asleep in Christ are perished." And all the relatives that have gone to glory are just vanished, are done, existing. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Well, praise the Lord for this time. We're going to continue today. I look forward to hearing message on the resurrection. For now, let's continue our series here today on John 4, True Worshippers. John 4. Let's read it again just to keep in track here. John 4, verse 21. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And let's open with a word of prayer, all right? Father, we thank you for this time that we can have together, celebrating and rejoicing that he is risen, that the grave could not hold him, that he defeated death, and through his life we have the hope of life ourselves. We commend ourselves now and this time in your hands. We pray that it will be profitable, Lord. And we pray that we'll continue to grow in our understanding of worship, in our understanding of the kind of music that you desire, and the kind of attitude and condition of our hearts when we raise our voices to glorify and honor your name. We pray that you will take control of this time, Holy Spirit, and use me to communicate your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've arrived to session number 6, True Worshippers. And just to keep you interested and I guess also to see where we're at in our understanding of this, I have a few questions that I'm going to make. And whoever answers them right, I'm going to give them music player is a very simple one, but it's got a few songs in it that you can just plug into your computer and listen to them. They're good songs. Now, if the kids win it, you know, they're responsible to go to their parents, and their parents decide whether or not they can listen to it or have it. But I thought that it should be a good opportunity for you to see if you know the answers, okay? Not only that, but Brother Dale is going to give you $1, all right? And, okay, so let's start here. And the way it's going to work is we're going to have the kids answer first. And then if the kids don't know the answer, then we're going to go to the adults, okay? And if they answer enough questions or more questions than anybody else, then the prize goes to that family, okay? All right, so the first question is, how does the Father want to be worshipped? Raise your hand. If I acknowledge you, you can answer. Okay, we have Jonathan here. Jonathan. Very good. So that's 1 point for the Benzel family. So what are the three main dangers or characteristics of CCM music? Three of them. I see you here. Do you know the answer? It's kind of a hard one. And for this question, you get 1 point for each correct answer, okay? The three dangers, three characteristics of contemporary Christian music. What are they? I'm going to give you the first answer, and then if you don't know it, and then you probably will figure out the next two. Nobody? So lyrics, okay? The lyrics are ambiguous or heretical, okay? In other words, those are the three areas of that we need to be aware of and careful of, okay? The characteristics of contemporary Christian music. Okay, so number two, does anybody know the second one? Okay, the Kuiper is there, 1 point.
Scooping and sliding.
Scooping and sliding improvisation. Very good. Now, those are the characteristics of the second thing. So you're right. But the second, the broader general danger that I mentioned was sensual style. So those are two characteristics of the sensual style that we reviewed last week. So yes and no. But you got a point. And the third one, the third danger, the third characteristic contemporary Christian music is, does anybody know? David.
Breathy tones.
Huh? Breathy tones. Okay, that's also part of the sensual style. So you try.
Rhythm.
Yeah, excessive rhythm, okay? So very good. We have a point. I'll just keep this, I guess. All right, so keep track of your points because I don't know. All right, what are the three things, listen to this, the three things that are lost if we don't sing with our understanding? Again, 1 point per answer. Yes, Xavier?
No fruit.
Ah, very good.
No education.
Very good.
And no praise to God.
Wow, very good. That's 3 points for them, so try to beat that, guys. I'm really impressed, and that was a good job. Yeah, very good. All right, so what is our reference in the Bible that tells us? You just have to give me the book and the chapter, okay? Where it tells us about what Xavier just said, and that we need to be aware of understanding what we're saying, and what we're singing, and what we're praying. Okay? Does anybody know the reference? Okay, you can look a little bit in your Bible. Go ahead. Yes, 1 Corinthians 14. Very good. So, now, another question here. So, what are the three? We kind of already touched on those, but can somebody tell me all three of them, or one at a time, whatever? Characteristics of the sensual style. How do we know that this or that music has a sensual style to it? Okay, whether it be in the voice or whether it be instrumental or instruments. 1. Anybody? What's that?
Breathy tone.
Very good. That's 1. Yes, sir.
Scooping and sliding.
Scooping and sliding. Very good.
Improvisation.
And improvisation. Very good. All right. So I think you guys won. So very good. Let's give it a hand. All right. So very good. Let's go on and let's move quickly through a quick review here. And I put it in little flow charts so you could remember it easier. So first line, spiritual worship is truthful worship. I'll sing with the spirit, but also with the understanding. Next slide. Emotions are not necessarily a bad thing in the context of church music. And we remember the quote by Jonathan Edwards on preaching, provided that they are affected with nothing but the truth. All right, next slide. Contemporary music is founded on an unscriptural premise that music is neutral. It cannot be good or bad. Next slide. When the standard of music is lowered in a church, then the standard of dress is also lowered. The standard of dress is lower. The standard of conduct and sense of value in God's worth and truth, etc. Okay? And there is no perfect music on this side of eternity. It means 2 things. One of them is, for liberals, it means that they should be able to grow in their music understanding and music taste. And for fundamentals, it means that even when we have come a little farther on our understanding of music, we still have a lot to learn and we need to approach it with humility. Okay. Our job, however, is to approach it to as much as possible continually. Process of sanctification includes the refinement of our taste for more heavenly things. Preference has no place here. Our preferences should and will change as we grow and mature as Christians. Okay, next slide. Okay, so the 3 marks of contemporary Christian music, or another way to say it, just the 3 dangers, okay? And we already touched on those. Go ahead and show them, all 3 of them. Heretical or ambiguous lyrics, sensual style, or excessive rhythm. So we already touched on heretical or ambiguous lyrics. We should be careful in examining what we're saying. I mean, none of us would go and sit under preaching that is heretical, and none of us would go and after a while of going to a church that, what do they mean? We'd eventually stop going to that church. And why do we think that we could listen to music even when the words are wrong? And keep singing it. So it doesn't make sense. If we're going to sing something, maybe packed with truth. And then last week we touched on the sensual style and the 3 characteristics or main characteristics of that, namely the sliding, the improvisation, the breathy tone, and others. Those are not the only ones. I was just talking to... we're listening to some recording, Brother David, I believe, and there's other things like they call that the vocal fry, they call it. So it's in some songs, and it sounds like that. I'm gonna show you some examples later on, but that's not the only ones, okay? They have a problem. Sliding, improvisation, breathy tone. And there's others that I think we don't need to go through just because these are the most common and just because those kind of things kind of shouldn't even be mentioned, right, at church. I mean, why do we have to go through, dig in the garbage to tell you how bad it smells? Okay. And finally, excessive rhythm. We're going to start our... a few sessions on rhythm and have a few examples. I mean, not all rhythm is bad. Obviously, it's a is a part of music. You cannot have music without rhythm. Rhythm is the order or organization of music on time. If we don't have rhythm, we don't have timing, okay? So we could be singing really fast and really slow and really fast and really slow, and there would be nothing to dictate how we ought to sing. However, since that part of the music affects our bodies, if you put excessive rhythm into music, then you have and come into the ground of sensual music. Okay, music that is pointed or focused on our bodies. And we know that there's nothing wrong with having a body as long as it is in subjection to the Word of God and to our spirit. Okay? So that's in general what we're going to be talking about. So let's next slide, please. So sensual style, we go ahead and show all three of them. We already talked about those. Sliding and scooping, breathy tone, improvising. We saw that the sliding and scooping is a serious problem. Okay, it's not. Why is it such a serious problem? It seems like we're making a big deal of it. Okay, the reason why sliding and scooping is a big deal is because the world started that trend, and their purpose was being physical and being intimate. And the way the guys, musicologists say it, classical singers, they strive for a constant beauty of tone, but it's rarely the interest of rock vocalists. They reject the dogma of being one right way to do things. They slip and ride around the notes because they have rejected the absolute truth. And finally, that's the way to approach or be intimate with their hearers, okay? That's what they're trying to do, to make you feel like you're right there and they're singing right to you, to the ear. So surely that kind of behavior, that kind of immorality, because that's what it is, it has no place in church music and worship. So that's why it's a big deal. Okay, now, we're going to run into some questions. So what about if I just can't help it? Or what if I'm not doing it because I want to be sinful, or I want to be rebellious, or I want to be sensual? Okay, those are very honest and the word escapes me, but they're real concern. They're like, why is that? I'm not trying to do that. Is there such a thing? Well, we're going to touch on that today. The same thing with breathy tone. Why is it a big deal? Because the world is trying to sing with this effect. In this vocal technique, the microphone is held extremely close to the singer's mouth. You can hear the breathing, okay? Some singers sing like they just woke up in the morning. And that would be bad enough, a sign of laziness, if you would. But it also has some immoral connotations, and I need not say more about that. But you understand, when the singers, the world singers, are doing this, breathy singing, they're purposely trying to achieve that. Maybe some Christians are unaware of that, and that's why we're having this seminar, to tell you that it's not a minor thing. It's a dangerous slippery slope, okay? And improvising. Now, you can raise a question, and we're going to address these questions. Improvising, is all improvising wrong? What do you think about that? We heard some samples on improvising, and we could tell, well, that's definitely wrong. You know, that's definitely sensual. That's definitely out of context. Is there such a thing as good improvisation? And that's what we're going to touch on today. Okay, let's move on. We saw what it looks like on paper. You know, we have two notes and two notes. Brother Jared guessed the song, and that was pretty neat. And we see that the scooping and sliding doesn't respect the boundaries and the unit of note, but it kind of slides towards it. And then in more severe cases, it just purposely goes under the tone and then back to reach that note, the next note. That's what it looks like on paper, and we should be careful with that, okay? Questions that could arise from the last session, okay? And I had a few people ask me some questions, so that's a lot of these come from those conversations, so I appreciate your feedback on those. So say, okay, let's move on. Okay, aren't all music arrangements improvising? So when we were singing here in the choir, we had a few songs that were not completely like the hymn book says. In other words, they were different. It was an arrangement, okay? So the answer to that is no. They're not all arrangements are improvising. You could say that arrangements that we have today, beautiful arrangements of music, of hymns, were improvising at some point or at the beginning. Somebody had to make the arrangement first, or somebody had to come up with the different notes to embellish the hymn. So, at first, maybe it was. But now the arrangement as we have it today, as the sheets that I passed to you to learn the songs, stopped being improvising and became professional arrangement. Okay? So somebody went through the trouble to perfect these arrangements for them to sound right and for us to practice week after week after week after week after week until we got it right. Why? So that we wouldn't improvise. Okay? Because imagine if we have a choir of 30, 50 people and we'll just try to do our own thing. That wouldn't work. But the reason we have the music written down and perfected to that level is because we want to do it right. There's no place for lone rangerism. There's no place for somebody just wanting to do their own thing. That's why choirs are so helpful, because there's no spotlight on one particular person, but we are all, you know, even dressed the same, even stand up the same, hold the paper the same way. It's not about the person. It's not about one particular individual. It's about the words and the truth and the praise to our holy God. Okay, so I hope that's clearing that. The solution for not knowing your melody is not improvising. It is practice. So some people could say, well, I improvise because I don't know the thing well enough. Okay, so that could be a thing. I don't know the thing well enough, the song well enough, the melody well enough, the music well enough. Well, the solution for that is not improvising. It's learning it right. Okay? In other words, there's very few people in our midst that could do a good ornamentation or embellishment on the go. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But for the most part, all of us, mere mortals, have to stick to learning as good as we can what's already written. Okay? All right, so next slide. Ornaments or embellishments are not spur-of-the-moment improvising or adjusting, but the usage of a set of techniques by good musicians. So let me explain that. You say, well, there's people that do ornamentation and embellishments on the go, like on the piano. You've probably heard our church pianists, the last verse, they enhance it and they make it probably pick up, put more volume into it, put more notes into it. Now, what I'm putting out there is that is not improvising per se, or spur of the moment improvising. That is a set of skills that they've developed, a set of arrangements that they've developed, or a set of kind of arrangements under their sleeve, or up their sleeve, however you say that, ready to go, okay? But they're ready to go, and that's why they can do it on the go. But it's not like it's improvisation. It's not that they're coming with random notes and putting them there to see if that sounds okay. Okay, does that make a little bit of sense at least? Okay. All right. Next slide, please. So the arrangement or ornamentation should not be sensual. At the end of the day, even if you have on the piece of paper something that is bad and something that is sensual, even you practice it, even if it's not spare of the moment, if it is sensual, you know, it's obviously still wrong. Okay. So you could say, no, but somebody could say, but I practiced this. It wasn't spur of the moment. I practice it all the time. Yeah, but the whole time you were practicing, it was a sensual thing. So that doesn't, you know, excuse that. If there's going to be any kind of ornamentation or embellishment, it has to be proper, especially in worship. I'll tell you a little story. We were in music, it was like, they called it a master class, okay? We were all sitting, we all kind of knew what we were doing on the violin, so these were not beginners. And there were a few cellists and a few flute players. And we were sitting in a class like this, and our teacher, he came from Belgium, a very, very good teacher. He came and had us all, one by one, come and play what we've been practicing, and he would give us some advice. Now, you know, most of us just played the thing that we had been practicing, and he just told us, well, you need to tweak this, you need to adjust that, make it better, so on and so forth. There was a flute player that came. She was very, very good, and she stood there, she played her piece, and she put in a lot of ornaments, a lot of embellishments to a classical Baroque piece by Bach. So if you know about the respect people have for Bach, I mean, it's like unsurmountable. You know, like, if you're going to do something to Bach's music, you better know what you're doing. And that's the kind of air that is breathed in music environments, you know. You can probably do that to some other composers and it'll be okay, Mozart and all those that are in the classical period later on. But Bach, it's kind of like sacred ground, okay? So I'm just trying to explain to you that what was going on here. So he asked her a very interesting question. Before he said, that was good, that was bad, he said, where do you get the ornaments? Where do you get the embellishments? So in other words, what he was saying, I can't get past that until you tell me who came up with these ornaments, and then I can talk to you, kind of a thing. Because if you came up with those ornaments, I don't even want to hear you, okay? Because you're not ready to make ornaments and embellishments for this. You're not ready for that. So the first question he asked, and then she said, okay, I got him from whoever, flutist, flute player, from so on, and then he said, okay, then I'll listen to you some more. So just to give you a comparison, this is that was classical music, but, you know, we have in our hymns very, very well composed and authorship in these songs, not just the music, but also the lyrics. And if you're going to dare to adjust things, you know, you better know what you're doing. Most of us should just stick to doing it right. That's probably the best thing we can aspire to. To sing, for example, Amazing Grace correctly. You know, probably the song that has been butchered the worst in our time. The first two notes, Amazing Grace, me, is only two notes. Amen. And by the time they get to May, they already put like 1,000 notes in there. You know what I'm saying? Amazing grace. So what was the melody? Who knows? It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's just, we're just enjoying this artists and the vocal proficiency and his mastery of sliding and scooping. Okay? So it's about the truth. Remember that? So music should just be like a pillar to that truth, okay? To a transportation, as a stage, to make us think about the words more clearly. Okay, so arrangement, ornamentation is not always wrong, but leave it for the pros, okay? And I'm not counting myself in one of those, but leave it for those who know what they're doing. For the most part, most of us need to know just our notes, learn them, and do it right. Okay? Okay, next slide, please. Is all sliding sinning? Now, this is a good question. Not all sliding is sinning. There's some sliding that is sinning and that is purposely sensual. Okay? And that the people know exactly what they're doing. The world says we're doing this because we are sensual, because we are immoral, okay? And that we want to make the guy singers try to make the girl audience feel bad things. And the other way around, the female vocalist and the male audience feeling things they shouldn't about this singer. That certainly shouldn't be the case in Christian circles, in worship. But is all sliding sinning? Now listen to this. No. Okay, we have to say this, even when it is so important, we have to say this because many people do it unawares, okay? Now, the solution for that is not to say, well, it doesn't matter. Okay? I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying it's not sinful yet. It's sinful when you understand what you're doing and you do it anyway. So, the solution for sliding, listen to this because this is important, is getting very, very familiar with good styles. Okay? Very, very familiar with it. In other words, the way you weed out what's bad is getting very, very familiar, acquainted with the honest stuff, okay, the real deal. So once that's out of the way, let's move on. Some is caused by a lack of practice. Now, hear me on this. Sometimes you find yourself having problems finding the right notes. Is that true or not? So it takes you a little bit to get to hit the G, hit the F, hit the B. And so you kind of like work yourself up to it, right? I'm not going to give you an example of that right now, myself singing, because that would be very easy to do. But think about that. Sometimes it's not intentional. Now, does that mean it's not important? No. It means that we just need to practice. And if we already practice and practice, maybe we need to listen to better stuff. Okay? Maybe that will help us understand. And we'll play a few good examples today. But let's move on so we don't run out of time here. Some is caused by being familiar with this style. In other words, we've been so flooded by that kind of music, that kind of style, that we just can't see it any different, okay? That's just what we've heard all our lives, and it's difficult to see something else. So, is it sinning? No. But it is important, and we need to figure it out, either by practice or by listening, okay? That's why we have that kind of stuff. Okay. Only some of it is intentional and essential. So that does not mean that everybody is unaware of what they're doing. There are some people that are doing it on purpose, and even so-called Christian, professing Christian singers are doing it with that intention. We're going to play some examples of that, okay? So in other words, they know exactly what they're doing. They're not just accidentally putting a sliding there. They're just scooping big time, you know, like both handfuls of dirt. Okay. Our drum's bad. Have you thought about that one? That was good. That was brought up by Pastor Bond. Our drum's bad. What do you think about that? Because, you know, we have some instruments that are kind of like gray area. But if there is an instrument that is definitely bad, well, it's drums, right? Drums, electric guitars are in that black area where it's unmistakable. Well, you can't do it right. You can't play a drum majestically or worshipfully, if there's a word. So, the answer, unfortunately, is it depends. Well, Pastor Bond's question goes like this. He already knew the answer, but he was testing me here. He said, why does orchestras have drums? Have we thought about that? Well, that is a question that you're going to hear time after time. And that's going to be where they're going to try to get you. Well, everybody uses drums, even symphony orchestras. That's the composers use drums in their compositions. Well, here's why it's different. Help us understand. This is all rhythm, excessive rhythm material for next week, but we're just going to touch on that today. Because that was a question that arose. There are different kinds of drums. So, depends on what, depends on the kind of drums. If you have a drum set, you're not going to, I'm almost willing to bet you, I'm not going to bet you because betting is wrong, that you cannot find good music with a drum set. Drum sets were specially designed for rock music and rock musicians. Okay? Just like electric guitar, you cannot listen to good electric guitar music, or for that matter, electric violin music. Why? Because they were made for that purpose. Okay? The electric guitar has a certain rhythm or a certain sound that is made for that kind of music, and it goes well with the bad singing. Now, drum sets, you could say that you can beat on a drum and do it correctly. However, the drum set is in such a way, and I know this, is presented in such a way that you have to, that's how you play it, okay? Most of the things are made and positioned to produce a backbeat. We're going to talk about backbeats next session. So they're not made for playing good music. Now, are all drums bad? What about symphony orchestras? Well, let's look at the next. They're playing different ways and in different proportion. And the proportion is important there. Now, if you're talking about timpani is a different kind of drum. Even you have to admit that. Or a liberal, anyway. Timpani in a symphony orchestra occupies about the 1% or less of the totality of the instruments in it. In other words, you have about 50 string instruments, which correspond to the melody of the piece. And then you have other instruments, wind instruments and brass instruments that help with the melody or produce harmony. And then, way back in the corner, You have two or five in weird cases where they are needed, like in Beethoven's symphonies. He sometimes goes overboard and calls for five timpani in his for his symphony. But guess what? And listen to this. The reason he does is because every timpani is tuned to a certain note. Do you get that? It's not just banging. There are actual notes playing on it. That is an important distinction because you're not trying to create a backbeat. You're trying to produce an accent on the piece, staying in tune with the melody. You're not affecting the melody. You're enhancing it. So the proportion of the instruments is telling, very telling. 1 out of 100. Whereas in rock bands, you have most of the instruments and while we're another playing rhythm. And then maybe a vocalist playing a melody. And the proportions are just no comparison. But not only that proportion, but the proportion, listen to this, that they play it. A constant backbeat on rock and a sparsely used timpani in an orchestra. Okay? So what do you end up with? A tiny bit of salt in your soup. Salt is good, but you know, if you put a lot of it, then you have heart attacks. Especially if you put in the concentration of rock music, that's going to kill you in a couple days. But not if you use a little bit of salt in your daily basis, right? Is most of your food salt? No, most of it is protein and carbohydrates and fat. But you use a little bit of salt every once in a while, right? Okay, so what else we have? Excessive rhythm. We're going to do that next. But go back one, please, Missy. I'm going to play some examples here. And that's how we're going to finish today. You say, do you have some examples, Brother Alex? I'm going to play you a few different versions of Holy, Holy, Holy. So I'm going to play three good versions, and then I'm going to play one good version. And you're going to see that there is a clear difference there. And that's how what I am suggesting for you to do at home. Okay? Because after I play three examples of the good stuff, hopefully you're going to recognize, at least for a few seconds, the badness of it. Okay? Maybe you're going to then get used to it and it cannot seem so bad. But at least for a few seconds, that's my goal today. To make you hear that good stuff. And then to shock you with a little bit of the other stuff, okay? So be so familiar with the good stuff that you learn to detect the other stuff. Well, I'm going to play, first of all, Holy, Holy, Holy by Majesty Music. And if Majesty Music ever hears about this recording, I would beg them to go back to this. Because you know what? They started with some really good stuff. That's what was so appealing about them. They were really excellent. And you know, they were not perfect, maybe. But they were excellent. So here it is, a sample of their rendering of Holy, Holy, Holy. This CD is called Majesty Strings, and probably all of you have heard it. So that's the introduction. I'm going to skip 1 minute here. kind of skip to halfway through the song. Tell you what, guys, somebody had at least in some degree, and in that moment when they were arranging that, an image of God's holiness. You know, there's no attention to the spotlight on the singer or in a slimy style. It was just enhancing the words and the truth about that song. Now you say, well, that's just instrument. Do you have anything that we can sing to? Well, this is Bob Jones University, same thing. I wish I would go back to some of the stuff they used to make. It was a lot better, at least. Say, that's great, Brother Alex, but we can't pick out the voices from that. Can you show us something that we can tell how the individual singers are singing? There is stuff like that. Notice here the attempt to be precise, to be honoring the melody, and to be to avoid scooping and sliding. They're just trying to be as hard as they can to be precise about the notes. Skip a few measures there. By the way, these guys, all their music is free online. The website is the Center for Church Music. It's good stuff, and they just do it for free. It's right there. So there's no excuse, right? There's a lot of good stuff. I mean, maybe 100 years ago you would struggle and would say, we wish we had some music, but, you know, that's all we have. No, it's not like that. We can get a CD for $10 with really, really good music. Okay. So those are a few good examples. Let me tell you. Ready? We already played this before. But when you could catch the breathiness, the breathy style, then the sliding and scooping, and then the improvisation, and even the vocal fry that we were talking about earlier.
Holy, holy, holy.
So on and so forth, but you know, that's, there's just no comparison in the precision that these guys are taking care of. This last lady, whoever she is, I mean, I can't judge her motives, kind of a thing. But man, if I could just say by what I am hearing, she's doing it on purpose. Okay, she is a professional singer. So there's no, maybe I don't know, maybe something. She's doing it and she wants to sound like this. Okay. And then I put hit really bad, so I don't know what it's gonna about to play, but can't remember. But okay, well that's just really, really bad. Anyway, so that was gonna be holy, holy, holy. We just see it go to the other extreme. That was a rhythmic guitar. You could see the strumming. And also just the loss of all majesty in that recording, okay? That was more like a party kind of music. All right, so that was Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's try a different song. In fact, one of the questions that was raised Sunday night, I think it was, well, what about saxophones? Are saxophones bad? And I would have to admit that the saxophones are that part of the gray area. Not that there is not good and bad saxophone music, or that there is no bad saxophone music, but I cannot tell you, don't ever listen to saxophone music. Now, having said that, I just want to tell you that I haven't heard yet a good saxophone music recording. Now, why is that? Well, the saxophone was created in that era of the jazz players. What was jazz all about? To be inaccurate, to be sliding and slimy, and to be imprecise in rhythm and tone and pitch. So let me play you an example here to show you what I mean. Before that, I'm gonna play you a good example and then the saxophone example. This is how great they are. First played by a congregation first. Saxophone has the peculiarity, the characteristic that is very, very easy to slide. It's hard to blow a saxophone and produce a precise tone. And people just take advantage of that and take it overboard. But it's just one instrument that is very hard. It will be very, very hard to produce an accurate sound, okay? We see some improvisation there, some sliding and scooping, and that's how it is the rest of the song. So it's kind of made for that guy, so be very, very careful if you like saxophone music. I mean, you can do whatever you want, I would just stay away from it. That's just me. All right. Finally, a few examples of great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy.
Here we have an example, a cappella, very beautiful melody, counter melody and parts.
Changes.
great words accompanied by good music. Now, we're going to hear an example of arrangement. Now, I assure you, these guys didn't just improvise that morning. These guys practiced hard. They're not improvising. They are singing an arrangement. Some of that music. Pretty, pretty good. And we're going to play a bad example now. I don't know how bad this is. I just want to illustrate that for you.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.
We already have some excessive rhythm to start with. But what I want to show you is the robbing of God of His glory in this truth. And putting the spotlight on the singer, and finally the sensual style.
Oh God, my Father.
And a bunch of other bad stuff that she's doing with her voice on purpose. So I hope that helps, guys, okay? I know that it's difficult sometimes if you hear Alex talk about things, and I don't show you something, you know? More palpable and more easy to visualize. But hopefully some of these examples today were helpful. And it also, if you have any questions, come to me, because a lot of the things that we touched on today were, rose from the questions that you guys had. So come to me, talk to me. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what... If there was something unclear, something you want to know more about, or like a drum question, you know, what about drums? What's the reason this is good, this is bad, or all that kind of stuff? That'd be good. I have a bad example here to illustrate Amazing Grace. You know, a good song, a simple song, gone bad and really butchered in our days. This is a milder example, although already we have a sliding, scooping, breathy tone and improvising. So I hope they are helpful, guys. Let me remind you what the Word of God says of what the life of the Christian should look like. Be not conformed to this world. You know that we are not supposed to feel comfortable in this world. Amen. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And finally, the verse that we read in Ephesians, let's all turn there to finish there, Ephesians 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. CCM music fulfills desires of flesh and mind. I was talking to Brother Jared. We were going to pick up some things in Portland. And on the way there, we were talking about how easy Christians, now listen to this last thing, how easy it is for Christians to switch from worship to entertainment without even noticing. Have you noticed that? 1 minute you are worshiping, praising the Lord, and the next time you're just having a good time. Let me encourage you to, when you come to church, to think about the truth, to stick with the truth, and to honor and praise God with the truth. And look at this in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in past times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Guys, that was the past. That's what we used to be. People that fulfill all the desires of our flesh and of our mind. But now, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. As Christians, we strive to look for the kind of worship that God wants. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for your love and for the opportunity to share your word and these principles with the church. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us in our quest to find what is pleasing to you and to figure out these things, Lord, the bad things from the good things, the holy from the profane, and be more pleasing to you in everything we do and say, sing, and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.